You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Craig Forsyth with you on the latest edition, looking ahead to Tuesday's action after a great weekend of National Hunt action. More on that shortly. First, Mr. Forsyth, how the devil are you?
Tickety-boo.
Good. Good. You're flying today. You're leaping around the office.
It's that victory over Manchester United, and we never had a game at the weekend, so, you know, it just continued on.
I was going to say, just wait until Saturday when we lose to Bournemouth and
then back to normal
and then back to
reality. I'm in here as well. I had a chase day, so
yeah, so am I actually.
So but we'll deal with that and cross that bridge when it comes.
Exactly. We're going to look at two races at Weatherby tomorrow.
Weatherby, yes.
We're going to do that shortly. I was going to say Carlisle. That's obviously on Monday. We're going to start, as ever, though, with the Monday jury here at William Hill, shamelessly stolen from Monday's edition of the Racing Post. And we start with question number one. What did you make of the Ascot Chase, fought out by Waiting Patiently and Q Cards?
The race of the season. It really was. You know, they've went a real strong, good gallop in the early stages. And we had two horses came to fight out the race. You know, one that hadn't been in the best of form, a former top class staring Q Card, and a horse that is up and coming and waiting patiently. And, you know, to see them two doing battle over the last and waiting patiently winning for Ruth Jefferson and the late Malcolm Jefferson was absolutely fantastic, bagging a grade one prize. And, you know, just sat back and it was just the very best of National Hunt racing, Alex. Really, really enjoyable race. Top class horses going a good, strong gallop. And, they finished very, very tired at the end of the race, but it was great to watch.
It's often difficult with Brian Hughes because you never know exactly how much he's got under him. And he came there cruising and you thought, this is almost too good to be true. And Q Card's tough and Q Card battled and ran superbly. But Waiting Patiently it hasn't just taken this run, but it has really gone up in my estimations off the back of that, because I thought he was a good horse, but he could be seriously top class, couldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, the only slight moment worry you had with him, he got, you know, coming around the bend, he looked like he got caught a little bit flat-footed. But once in the straight, Brian Hughes got him back on the bridle. And in his after-race interview, Brian says, you know, if Malcolm would have been here, he'd have been blaming me for getting there too soon.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a nice quote in a way. But that was the way the race panned out. And, you know, he battled on well when he did get to the front. And he's beat a really good horse and Q Card, it bounced back to his very best, and that was great to see as well. You know, an old warrior going down graciously in defeat.
And talk now that Paddy Brennan may well be in line to keep their eyes on Q Card. It's musical jockeys, isn't it?
It is, yes. Let's hope Brian Hughes keeps right on Waiting Patiently as well, because, you know, he's excelled on the horse, and the pair are a match made in heaven, really, the way he has to be ridden, and Brian's quiet style, you know, fantastic to watch.
Another match made in heaven would appear to be Black Courtin and Briony Frost. And question two is, how do you think Black Courtin and Briony Frost will get on in the RSA? I mean, one of the stories of the season, because, yes, it's trained by Paul Nicholls, and you could go, well, you know, he could do this every year. The horse just goes from strength to strength, and it's rare that you see a horse pick up the winning sequence so emphatically, having lost it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, how many people had him down as a summer jumper, you know, when he was running up a sequence back then, Alex? But, you know, he's been trained really well. I think Paul Nicholls deserves a lot of credit because, you know, he bagged the Grade 1 prize over Christmas at Kempton. He's then had a break again, you know, reappearing mid-Feb. And, you know, he's won in great style again. You know, the second part of the question is, how do you think he'll get on in the RSA? I think he will struggle, to be honest. I don't think that would be the ideal race for this type of horse, because Forestier, he does have a bit of speed.
He's at 8-1/3 in with us here.
Yeah, he's got to turn a foot for a horse that stays well. And in an RSA, in a normal RSA, you need to grind it out.
Yeah.
I think he'll come up against stronger stairs, tougher horses. He'll run very well, but I don't see him being good enough to win that type of race.
Okay.
But we've been wrong with him a few times already.
No, that's true. I mean, so, personally, I've written him off many, many times in races, and he just keeps coming back, and he was really impressive at the weekend. It was taking, but again, the field wasn't the strongest, whereas you look at the RSA and you just go, crikey, that's...
It was his turn of foot to take him away from his rivals, you know, in the last stages of the race, which was, again, so impressive. But, like I say, I don't think you can carry those type of tactics off in an RSA. There are too many good, tough horses in behind that I think he'll struggle to shake off and probably be outstayed in the closing stages.
Next question. What are Elgin's prospects if he's supplemented for the champion hurdle? Of course, he won the Kingwell at Wincanton. He's 20-1 here at William Hill. Does still need to be supplemented. May well be. It was an impressive success, but again, it's a whole other kind of story when you come up against the likes of Bouvardet.
Very much so, but, you know, he's been impressive. We know he'll handle the track. He won the Great Wood at the track back in November. And he's continued his progression. You know, I think what was most impressive about his victory at the weekend was, you know, he carried a penalty.
Mm.
And he was conceding weight to the likes of Chitabello, who had been in terrific form. And he just kept galloping clear of Dan Skelton's horse. And, you know, there was a lot to like about it, but, you know... You look at his performance and where he is in terms of, you know, how you would rate him, and he's still going to be, you know, 7, 8, 9 pounds short of Bouvardet. Round about, you know, that's how much improvement he still needs to find, Alex, to be a serious contender for the champion hurdle. But he's a young, improving horse that's on an upward curve. So, you know, he's going the right way for sure. But to win the champion hurdle on what he's achieved so far this year, he's still 7 or 8 pounds short.
Okay. Next up, how firmly does our Duke's Garran success put him back in the Gold Cup picture? He's 8-1 fourth in as we record this, behind Might Bite, Native River and Sizing John. It was good to see him back to winning ways, because his previous run was too bad to be true, and obviously problems have come to light off the back of that. Our Duke 8-1, I'm surprised that he's still 8-1. I thought he might be a little bit shorter off the back of that, but at the same time, he's a horse that last year was highly touted for this very race this year. It was good to see him regain the winning thread, if nothing else.
Very much so. Is it an ideal prep? You know, having a race like that in heavy ground 4 and a bit weeks before the festival.
Mm.
That would be my major concern. And secondly, another concern would be his jumping. You know, I think looking this year at the race, I think it's going to be a fairly large field for this year's Gold Cup. And I can see him, if he makes that early mistake, getting shuffled back and being in an awful early position and having a fair bit of ground to make up. So his jumping remains a cause for concern as well, Alex. So, you know, he needs to be fluent at Cheltenham so he can maintain his position in the race. Because what we've seen, you know, particularly at Leopardstown last time, was make a horrendous blunder and he ended up in an awful position in the race.
Yeah.
And in a Gold Cup, if you do that, that's it. It's over. So, you know, he needs to put in a clear round of jumping, and in what looks like it could well be a big field race, that's going to be important as ever. So, it was good to see him win at the weekend. He's a great horse, but I worry about you jumping in the Gold Cup and the fact that, you know, from winning on heavy ground 4 weeks on, he's then got to go and repeat it.
Next question: who do you like in the National following the release of the weights and Haydock's trial? I mean, stamina sapping stuff at Haydock, and Black Lion was a distant second in the end. It was one of those races where you just think, again, is that an ideal prep? I suppose. I mean, Black Lion, who many people have down as a doubtful stayer already, has had a hard race there. I don't think you could say didn't stay at Haydock, because obviously they were finishing so tired. Well beaten by Yarlarenki, who is a fine horse in his own right, but you wouldn't expect to be winning a National, not on good ground anyway. Blackline 12-1 second favourite, Total Recall 11-1 favourite, 20-1 and bigger the remainder. I just don't think Blackline... I'd love the horse, and if the National was over a mile shorter, I think he'd hack up.
Yeah,
but it's got to be a concern.
Yeah, I think his stamina's a major doubt. He had a tough race there at the weekend, carrying a big weight. He didn't do anything wrong, you know, carrying that weight off the mark he was running off. I thought he ran a perfectly respectable race. But looking at the National, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Antipo's betting on the race at this stage, to be honest. But to find any value, Alex, I think you've got to stray away from the proven horses that have already ran really well over the fences in the past, because they're all priced accordingly.
Yeah.
You know, and we've got quite a few this year, you know, that have ran extremely well over the national fences. So looking away from those, you know, the North has carried all before them this year. Sam Spinner, Waiting Patiently, Nicky Richard's horse, that Guitar Pete that won at Cheltenham. Fantastic time. So I'm going to stick with the Northern Yard and See You at Midnight. We haven't seen this season, but he's been trained with the National in mind.
Now 33-1 he is.
Now the weights have been published. I think we will see him.
Yeah.
Because he has his mark and he knows where he stands. And, you know, I think he looks the ideal type for me. Horse that has run well in the Scottish National in the past.
I thought it was fascinating this year in the National when you look at the J.P. McManus, what could be a battalion. Because you look through them and they've all got a chance. So you look at the betting, 20-1 for Cause of Causes and Manila Rocco. He's got Annabelle Fly, who's 25-1. Ed Wolf is 33-1. Regal Encore, 33-1. There are more as well. But it's one of those things where you go, well, any of those could be your first choice, really, JP. And subsequently will be considerably shorter than they currently are in the betting. Because Cause of Causes was second in the race last year. It's a race that, obviously, he's only won once in the past, and that was AP's only success as well. But I have a sneaky feeling he'll get it this year. But, again, that could be a hashtag your odds on Twitter kind of bet.
Yeah.
What price JP wins it.
Yeah. I was asking for odds on your odds on Saturday for the colour of Sam Turner's pocket handkerchief, but I never got any.
That's because we believe you had inside information, Craig. Final question on the Monday jury. Give us a horse to follow who's caught your eye away from the bright lights. So maybe one that's under the radar. Have you seen one in the northern tracks in the last few days or weeks that's an eye-catcher for weeks to come?
I have, Alex, yes. I've seen a nice type of Donald McCain's at Kelso last week. He ran in novice hurdle, and for the track and for the North, I think it was a way above average race. It was won by Tax Me If You Can for Keith Dalglish. Sam's Gunner, you know, he's another one. He isn't the main one here, but he's one to bear in mind when he goes back up and trip, because he was doing all his best work going through the line. But the horse I'm going to give is Of Course I Will. Went off 25-1. Lovely type. He looked in a paddock. Big, strong, chasing type. His best days will come when he's sent over a fence. But once he's upped in trip and handicap hurdles, I think he's definitely capable of bagging one of those before the season's out. And then next year, I think he'll improve dramatically in novice chases.
Fair enough. And it's not for me to throw my two pennies in the mix, but I'm going to throw one in. On Friday night, I was here in the William Hill Racing Radio studio and was really impressed by, and I know you're probably going to gasp here, Craig, by one of Mark Tompkins' horses at Newcastle. Did you see any of the racing on Friday night or not?
I seen bits and bobs of it, to be honest, but I wasn't paying a huge amount of attention.
There was a Filly's Novice Stakes, which was by far and away the most interesting race on the card. Lumi was the winner for Carl Burke.
I didn't see that race, unfortunately.
Second was Velvet Vision, on debut for Mark Tompkins and Paul Mulrennan. It was 66-1. And in behind, you had runners trained by David Simcock, Hugo Palmer, another Simcock runner, and John Gosden. Yes, they're not stable stars for those respective yards, but Velvet Vision went off 66-1 and travelled sweet as a nut through the contest. Wasn't really asked for much of an effort. Was never going to beat Lumi anyway, who looks like that could be one to keep on the right side of as well. But I just thought, I know he's not going to be going off 66-1, or rather she isn't going to be going off 66-1 any time in the future. And with Mark Tompkins, you never know, do you? But she's got ability, and the way that she travelled was so eye-catching. So there's one on the flat.
Yeah, come well, on. But did say for a dark one away from the...
Yeah, because you couldn't get...
the brighter lights, so...
Well, there are floodlights, but... just could be one to consider. But the name of yours again, Donald McCain's?
Of Course I Will.
Yes. Okay.
Like I said, hopefully he can win a handicap hurdle, but like I said, next year, novice chasing, I think he'll do very well. And what he's achieved so far, Alex, I think he'll get a very workable mark.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we'll focus on Weatherby tomorrow. Two races that we're going to focus on. What was it, the 3:35 and the 4:40?
It is.
The 3:35 is a handicap chase over, well, I was going to say the 2 mile trip. It is a mile and seven pretty much at Weatherby, isn't it? A quick 2 miler, and there's a lot of these that you could give a chance to. In fact, all of them, really. The worst place last time out finish in this race was fourth. It's going to give all of them some kind of squeak, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's by far the best race on the card. It's not a vintage Weatherby card, but this is an absolute standout. 0-140 handicap, chase just short of 2 miles. Looking at them, I think Dresden will probably go favourite here. Alex, a horse that took advantage of a lowly mark at Catterick last time, you know, dropped to 132, never looked in any danger, jumped, travelled and won well, but he's gone back up £7 now, and he's carrying 11-12.
So I can't believe he's only 10.
Yeah, he's been around. He's been around for a fair few years.
Yeah,
and you know, he's been a grand servant to his owner and his trainer.
Mm.
So yeah, he will continue to run well. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But I think the £7 rise will be enough to stop him following up his Catterick success. The one that I do like here is Pistol Park for Brian Ellison and the very, very much informed Brian Hughes. Mm. You know, he's riding absolutely better than he's ever done at the moment. And this is a horse that was still in contention on his first start of the season at Ayr, a race won by Sirius Darius, who got up very late that day, but unfortunately unseated Henry Brook. He went off even money on his next start here at Weatherby, bumped into Movie Legend, ran a respectable race to finish second. And then last time, you know, he was in a tough race at Haydock. He made a mistake and, you know, basically that ended his chance. He's since had wind surgery and he's reappearing here after a 59-day break with a tongue tie on. Now, he's well handicapped on 132 on last year's form. He beat Wenger de Guy, who is in this lineup tomorrow at Newcastle. And at these weights, he should definitely confirm that form with him. So, you know, the fact that he's had some surgery and he is well handicapped, he's only a 7-year-old, the ground won't be a problem. You know, if you're winning on heavy ground at Newcastle, I'm sure you'll handle heavy ground at Weatherby.
Mm.
So he's a big player, and when you look at the rest of them, Alex, I think, you know, he's definitely going to take all the beating. Fairlock won last time at Market Raisin. You would never, ever back this horse to follow up because he doesn't find a great deal off the bridle. Swift Crusader has been running well, but may just need to find a little bit of improvement off this mark. And Evan Williams, despite going close with a few at Foss Lass on Sunday, is on a little bit of a losing run. I think it's around about the 0-30 mark for the last couple of weeks. Caroline, a horse that again dropped to a nice mark when winning here at Weatherby, has gone up in the weights and struggled off a higher mark last time. It looks an excellent opportunity for Pistol Park.
Okay, Pistol Park then getting the nod for Craig in that one. What I will say is we're recording this prior to racing on Monday, just in case Evan Williams has a four-timer.
Yeah, and another thing to mention as well, the ground already is heavy and, you know, outside here it's fairly wet. It's raining at the moment as well.
Pretty grim, yeah.
So conditions will be testing.
The 440 is the other race we're going to focus on. A handicap chase over 3 miles, this one. This one looks certainly more open. There's a few who arrive here in pretty rank form, but there's only one place to start, really, and that's with Millie Ballou, who looked the winner by the shouting at Catterick last time when running out. Ryan Day not on board this time. It is Brian Hughes on board. Ryan Day, who had a bit of a rummel few days, because that happened on the 2nd of February, and then on the 3rd up at Musselburgh, coming down to the last on looking well, and that one unseated approaching the final flight. And then he's gone on to have 3 winners since then. But anyway, it's Brian Hughes in the saddle on Millie Ballou, who she's consistent. Would that be a concern last time out? It's the first time that she's really shown sort of any kind of problem, or to my knowledge anyway. Would that be a concern?
Yeah, it would have to be, really, Alex. You know, she was tanking through that race at the time. I think she would have definitely won. Unfortunately, she has gone up £3 in the weight, but you just don't know how that will affect the horse's confidence. So that would be of definite concern for me.
Okay. Luna Flow is a horse who often goes off fairly short in the betting. It always seems to be well fancied. That's because he keeps running pretty solid races, and again comes here in good fettle. He's going to have to go close.
Comes here on the back of a good run in similar conditions at the end of last month. You know, he's another one that has been through the wind surgery, but 28 days after a wind operation reappearing, it's a quick turnaround. Well handicapped to go close on a mark of 109, but I would just have a slight doubt that, you know, this is, could come quick enough after a wind operation.
Bandon Rock put 3 wins back-to-back together this time last year. has been seen three times this year and has shown nothing, but Kim Bailey did win this race last year, and that horse is visored first time. That's one that I'd certainly like to see bounce back to form, but you certainly couldn't put up as a selection on this occasion. What's your selection going to be?
Yeah, I think Brandon Rock won slightly better ground, Alex, as well. My selection is going to be Just Georgie, Sue Smith, the informed Sue Smith, and Danny Cook. Struggled last time in a Grade 3 event, you know, was a little bit out of his depth on that occasion, punching a bit above his weight. He was still in contention prior to that at Haydock when he unseated Danny Cook. He's running here off a mark of 110. This is his easiest task for some time. He's still a maiden over fences. Good horse over hurdles, but he just hasn't really, you know, taken off over fences yet. But he remains on a decent mark. He'll have no problem with the conditions. And like I said, looking at the opposition, I think this is definitely his easiest task to date over fences.
Okay. So the selections for Monday, in the 3:35, you're with Pistol Park?
Pistol Park for Brian Ellison and Brian Hughes.
And in the 4:40?
We're going with Just Georgie for Sue Smith and Danny Cook.
And of the two, which would you say is the nap, which is the next best?
It's got to be Pistol Park in the better quality race, Alex.
Okay. Good stuff, Craig. Good luck with your fancies on Monday, on Tuesday even.
And yeah, you've got this Carlisle outlaw.
I have no idea what day it is. I had the Carlisle card up early. We were going to preview racing, listeners. In fact, that might be an idea for future racing podcasts. Just tip up all the winners on the card and go, aren't we great?
So it's Cheltenham start 3 weeks on Monday?
Something like that, yeah. good luck with your fancies, listeners. Best luck if you are having a bet on Tuesday, and we'll speak to you soon on the William Hill Racing Podcasts.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.